At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm John Hodge for Three Down Nation, joined by JC Abbott for our picks for week 9 in the Canadian Football League. JC, how excited are you to get our picks on the record?
Oh, I am always thrilled to be proven wrong in the public sphere. That is my favorite thing of every week, is to just show how inaccurate I am with all of my predictions.
Here's my contention. I believe that my picks have been perfect. It's the players who are playing the games wrong. That is the problem. Like, for example, when I had BC to win and cover, and then they you-know-whatted the bed late against the Hamilton Tiger Cats, which sucked because that was what I needed to go 2-2 on the week. Or, you know, when you pick the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and Zach Kolaris gets hurt again, or you pick the Calgary Stampeders and VA gets hurt, I guess in his case for the first time. But regardless, frustrating when you pick a team, they're up late, and then they collapse. Or frustrating when you pick a team and the quarterback is out at halftime. I think my picks are great, and it's the games themselves that are wrong. And I know that's ridiculous to say, but I don't feel like being unridiculous today. I feel like being ridiculous, so that is what I'm sticking with. Let's get into it, JC. We got 4 interdivisional games this week, starting with the Ottawa Redblacks are 3.5-point favorites at home against the Calgary Stampeders on Thursday night. PJ Walker will make his first career CFL start as Vernon Adams Jr. is out due to a head injury, while the Redblacks will have a whole host of key players returning to the lineup, including Drew Brown, Braylon Addison, Peter Godber, and CJ Colden. JC, can the Stampeders overcome the loss of VA, or will the Redblacks get their second win of the season coming off a bye?
We talked about it on the pod this week, just how desperate a situation this is for the Ottawa Redblacks. And we kicked around, you know, how many wins they have to get before their next bye in order for Bob Dice to be securing his job at head coach and for no changes to be made for this team. You said 2. I said 3 because I thought that they needed a bit of an upset or a victory over a higher-ranked opponent along the way. Well, here they've been gifted a perfect opportunity, Hodge, because I do not trust the Stampeders' offense without Vernon Adams Jr., especially with all the other offensive pieces that they're missing. You're talking about not having Reggie Begelton, obviously, no Damian Alford, no Clark Barnes, potentially no Jalen Philpott either. That's a lot of weapons that are missing when you've got your backup quarterback at the helm. And PJ Walker has shown me absolutely nothing, both in the preseason and in his brief stint last week, to indicate that he's ready to compete in the CFL game. I know he's got a tremendous resume from his time south of the border in the National Football League as a backup and in other alternative leagues, but the CFL is a different game, and I don't think he's there yet. Drew Brown coming back and being healthy is going to be a boost for the Redblacks. I think they're getting some other important pieces. That offensive line should be better with Peter Godbert in the fold. I am taking the Redblacks to win and cover this game.
I'm with you here, JC. And for the record, I will push back a little bit on what you said about PJ Walker's resume, only because, yeah, 5-4 as a starter, that is legit, especially considering that the Panthers and Browns teams that he started for were not exactly world beaters. That said, 6 touchdowns to 16 picks down south. That is a terrible ratio, obviously. There's no sugarcoating that. And he hasn't impressed me either thus far. That's not to say he can't become a very good CFL quarterback. Certainly he's got arm talent. He's got some mobility. But thus far, I mean, he wasn't very impressive in the preseason. He was not impressive at all late in that game against Montreal. My big issue with him is he seems to have a fastball and absolutely nothing else. Like, there was an outlet route that he threw to the running back on second, I think it was 2nd and 4, and he threw it as if he was getting paid by the mile per hour. And sometimes, obviously, that fastball, if you're fitting that ball into a tight window, yeah, there's a time and place for it. But there's also a time for giving your receiver the best opportunity to make a play on the ball. And sometimes that means not rifling it in there as hard as you can, especially if, obviously, sometimes rifling the ball in there means that it's going to cost you some accuracy. So from that side of it, I'm selling the Stampeders this week, and I'm actually buying what the Ottawa Redblacks are selling. I think Peter Godbeur is going to help fix the interior of that offensive line that has not been good enough so far this year. I'm a little nervous about Zach Pelias, their right tackle, being a game-time decision. But other than that, this team is starting to get healthy at the right time. If Drew Brown stayed healthy all year, I don't think this team is 1-6. I think their record is not as good as this team is when they're at full health. So for that reason, I am taking the Ottawa Redblacks to win and cover. By the way, insane line movement on this game. I can't remember the last time a line moved this much in one day in a CFL game. The Redblacks were, I think, a consensus +4, and then the VA news comes out, and all of a sudden they're 3.5-point favorites. That shows how much confidence people have in VA, and maybe how little confidence oddmakers and bettors have in PJ Walker. A 7.5-point swing is nothing to shake a stick at. I'm still happy to eat the points. Give me the Ottawa Redblacks. -3.5, that doesn't scare me in this situation. I think they're going to get this one done.
The Winnipeg Blue Bombers are 3-point home favorites against the Toronto Argonauts on Friday night. These two teams met at BMO Field last week, where Nick Arbuckle shredded Winnipeg's secondary, and Zach Collaros left a second straight game due to a neck injury. Collaros will not play this week, presumably letting Chris Streveler get the start. Hodge, can the Blue Bombers avenge last week's loss, or will Toronto make it a second straight win?
I picked the Bombers to lose in their opener, week 2, against the BC Lions, and they came out and they won. So there is precedent for me having egg on my face when Chris Streveler starts a football game. That said, I have egg on my face from the last few weeks here. I picked the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to win against the Calgary Stampeders. Not cover, but win against the Calgary Stampeder two weeks ago. They didn't win that game, obviously. They got kicked by 21 points. And I picked them to win and cover in Toronto this past week. And not only did they not do that, they didn't even come close. Like, at least the previous game against the Stampeders, you look at it and you go, well, it was 17-13 when Zach goes out. He'd made some really nice throws that game. Unbelievable deep shot to Nick Dembski. You know, they could have won it. That was not the case. I was there, JC. I was at BMO Field for that game. Zach Collaros looked miserable. The secondary was atrocious. The tackling defensively was miserable. Trey Vavil having more ball security issues on the punt return game. And obviously the weather was a factor. It's rainy. The ball slips. Chris Kolonkowski had one as well. A bad snap. I spoke with him after the game. Next time he knows to ask for a dry football if the football is too wet to snap. But regardless, little problems like that, right? Small mistakes can compound quickly. And if the goal is to play mistake-free football, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as of late have been playing mistake-riddled football. So full credit to Chris Streveler. He was great in that season opener. I feel bad picking against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers this week at home. I almost never pick against them at Princess Auto Stadium. But I'm sorry. You fool me once, shame on you. You fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 3 times. Oh my God, stop fooling me. For that reason, I am taking the Toronto Argonauts to win and upset the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at home in Bomberland. I just can't take another L picking the Bombers.
Well, I have a similar amount of egg on my face having picked the Bombers a couple of times. And you know what? I am nothing if not a fool, so why not lead into it? I think the Bombers can get this one done. I think it matters that they're playing at home. There is no better venue to play in the CFL than Princess Auto Stadium as the home team. That energy will fuel you. And I think there is a difference between Chris Streveler coming off the bench into a game plan that wasn't necessarily designed for him, having not had reps that week, versus him getting the full week to prepare and knowing that he's the guy. And I know they didn't practice a ton, only one day of true practice, but I still think that matters to have that understanding that you're going to be the guy and to build that game plan around you. I don't trust the Toronto Argonauts as a team from top to bottom right now. I think Nick Arbuckle has played better the last couple of weeks, but their protection still scares me. I think you give a team a back-to-back, it's tougher to surprise them a second time. And I think Winnipeg is going to have the answers. I think Streveler is going to be better than he showed in the second half. And Winnipeg will get this victory at home over the Argos and snap their losing streak.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Yeah, I think the big question here, and look, there's questions about the defense in Winnipeg. I think offensively, I have big questions for Jason Hogan, the offensive coordinator. He promised a high-flying, creative, entertaining offense when he took the job. And I think if you are going to do some of those things, this is the week to do it, right? You've got Chris Streveler, an ultra-athletic quarterback who can run around you. He can run through you. I want to be dazzled. I want to be impressed. And this past week, especially, I did not feel dazzled or impressed by Winnipeg's defense. I felt slightly bored, if anything. So I want to see some razzle-dazzle. I want to see misdirection. I want to see creative runs. And I want to see Brady Oliveira get 25 touches. He got the damn MOP of the league in the backfield. Six carries for 41 yards to start that game. And then they were like, all right, Brady, well, thanks for a great start. You can actually have a seat on the sidelines. We got some lemonade. You can chill. We're going to give it to everybody but you. I don't understand it. So if the game plan here makes sense, I don't hate your pick, JC, but I am selling the Winnipeg Blue Bombers right now. I'm not saying I'm not going to buy them back at some point, but right now I am just too down on them. I can't pick them. The Edmonton Elks are 3.5-point home underdogs to the Hamilton Tiger Cats on Saturday afternoon as Cody Fajardo will make his second straight start for the green and gold. I should say green and yellow. Edmonton doesn't wear gold. Hamilton, speaking of teams that also don't wear gold, is on a 5-game winning streak, most recently knocking off the BC Lions in Vancouver. Can the Tabbies make it 6 straight games and cover this moderate spread at Commonwealth Stadium?
Yes. Are we done? Can we go home now?
You gotta give us a little more than that. I mean, for the record, I'm also picking Hamilton to win and cover, but we need to legitimize the pick for the people, JC.
Look, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, I would argue, are the hottest team in the CFL right now, and for good reason. That offense is playing spectacular football, and what last week proved against the BC Lions is, yes, you can stop Kenny Lawler, and it doesn't matter, because Bo Levi Mitchell is playing incredible football. They've got weapons across the board. They will find other ways to beat you, and against an Edmonton defense that has been extremely vulnerable, that hasn't melded well together and has some serious schematic flaws as well, I think that Scott Milanovic is going to pick them apart. Is Cody Fajardo going to play a decent game? Probably. Is he going to get sacked 8 times again like he was last week? Probably not. I don't think Hamilton's pass rush is quite as good as Saskatchewan's, but I don't think there's going to be enough there from that Elks offense to compensate for what this Hamilton offense is going to do to this Edmonton defense that has been a tremendous disappointment this season. I think this one could get ugly, if I'm being entirely frank. So I've got the Ticats.
I don't have this one getting ugly just because I think going on back-to-back road trips and traveling this far is a tough thing, right? The longest road trip of the year for the Tiger Cats is Vancouver. Second longest is Edmonton. I don't think the schedule favor or schedule makers did any favors for the Tabbies here, having them go back to back. That being said, they're just a much better team, right? I mean, Tywin Garbutt goes down. Philip Osei, I thought, had a great debut last week. So the Ticats pass rush, that was a spot I know I had concerns about coming into the season. Their linebacking core, I also had some questions going into the season. They've really settled that nicely. Julian Hauser having a massive bounce back here. Devin Varisuk running around like a man possessed from the middle. The second overall pick in this year's draft. I do like some of the changes that the Elks have made. I thought Kenny Logan Jr. had a really nice debut at DB for them this past game. I thought that that defense is starting to settle down after a really, really rough start. That being said, this is a real stat, JC. Offensive yards per play allowed. That is my favorite defensive statistic. If you just look at net offense, it doesn't take into account how many plays a team had. Well, right now, the league average is basically 6.9 yards allowed per play. Edmonton is 7.5. They are almost half a yard worse than every other team. And opposing quarterbacks are completing 78.4% of their passes against the Elks. And when you are now welcoming the front runner for MOP, Bo Levi Mitchell, who's got 15 touchdowns to three picks, one of which was the Robert Carter Jr. interception, which, like, oh my God, how can you possibly blame that on the quarterback? The touchdown interception ratio is off the charts for Bo. So I do think that Edmonton's defense is getting better. That being said, it's got a long, long, long way to go before it's really good. So I see the Hamilton Tiger Cats going into Commonwealth. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I don't think it's going to be close. I think they cover this 3.5 spread pretty easily. The Elks, they're in a bad way right now. And the Tiger Cats, I think, can take full advantage.
The Montreal Alouettes are 3-point home underdogs to the Saskatchewan Roughriders on Saturday night. The Alouettes are coming off a surprise come-from-behind win over the Stampeders, while Saskatchewan survived a late scare against the Elks. McLeod Bethel-Thompson looks to make a second straight start for the Owls and is coming off arguably his best start of the season as he threw for 280 yards, one touchdown, and one pick. Can the Riders improve to 7-1? Or will Montreal improve to 6-2?
Well, this is the game of the week for me, honestly, JC. And I talked about those stats a moment ago. Saskatchewan is the number one team in the CFL right now in yards per play with 7.4. The number one defense in yards allowed per play is the Montreal Alouettes at 5.9. Like, this is the top offense against the top defense. Obviously, with McLeod Bethel-Thompson in, Davis Alexander out, there's going to be a little more pressure, I think, on Montreal's defense to make some plays, right? Generate some takeaways, get that good field position. That being said, I do think that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are going to be able to make some hay here. AJ Ouellette running the ball pretty well. The offensive line is starting to get a little healthier, right? It looks like Peyton Collins, the rookie left tackle, is going to be back this week for the Riders. That will be a nice little boost for them. So I think I am leaning to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders getting the win and the short cover here in La Belle Provence. I think there's a little bit of pressure taken off the Alouettes because they got a surprise win in Calgary last week. Do I think they can still get this dub? Absolutely. I think this is a very tightly contested game. I think if they play it five times, the Riders win and cover five, and the Alouettes at least cover, if not win, five times themselves. So I think this is the best line of the week, the best game of the week, the toughest pick of the week. I'm going to take the Riders by a hair to improve to 7-1, number one team in the West Division.
I am also riding with the Riders, and I think a lot of credit needs to be given to Trevor Harris, who, yeah, does he have the same arm strength he used to? I think you can debate that, but I think he's been playing some exceptional football as of late, especially from a mental standpoint. I think he has really taken the reins of this team, like we saw at the tail end of last season, and he's dishing out that ball with authority across the field. I think it's going to be a good matchup against that Montreal Alouettes defense. They can get some pressure, but I think Trevor Harris neutralizes that when he's able to get the ball out of his hands quickly. And then on the other side, McLeod Bethel-Thompson, He can lip off at the TSN panel all he wants. It was a better performance, but was it a good performance against Calgary? I'm not sure I would go that far. You've got to be able to score touchdowns. And with the game on the line in the fourth quarter, they settled for 3 field goals. And I think we need to see Montreal finish more drives with their backup at the helm for me to be confident in picking them with MBT there. I've got Saskatchewan all the way in this game.
You raise an interesting point with the field goals, JC, because kicker is the one area I trust the Alouettes about 100 times more than the Rough Riders right now. Jose Maltos lights out last week with the unbelievable 58-yard.
Is John Hodge picking a global over a Canadian? Oh, my word.
Didn't Jose Maltos originally come to the CFL as just a as an import, right? He's kind of a fake global.
He's not a fake global. He got an opportunity in BC Lions minicap straight out of Mexico before the global program was a thing. He also had an opportunity with the Saints, but he's fully trained and only played in Mexico before he came here.
Well, fine. Then Jose Maltos, I will say, is a great player because, my goodness, he's been kicking the hell out of the ball lately. Full credit to him. That 58-yard winner was absolutely no joke at McMahon Stadium. Obviously, Brett Lawther on the other side of things, not as hot for the Riders this year. But regardless, I'm still rolling with the Riders. I think this could be a tight one. And by the way, Saturday doubleheader, the early game in the West, the late game in the East. Has this ever happened? It feels weird. I'm having Twilight Zone vibes.
It does seem like a little bit of strange scheduling there.
Whatever. For JC Abbott, I'm John Hodge. Those are our picks for Week 9 in the Canadian Football League. We thank you as always for listening to the Three Down Nation podcast. We'll be back on Monday for a full episode.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.